Welcome to today's edition of Evangelize for Life with Stephen Glover, evangelist, church planter, and missionary. Stephen is the former national evangelism missionary for the North American Mission Board, a former church planter, who holds a master's degree in church planting and evangelism from Liberty University. Stephen has served as a domestic missionary for over 12 years, and evangelism is something he does every day. Now here's your host, Stephen Glover.
Grace to you, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Welcome again to Evangelize for Life. I'm Stephen Glover, your host, and so glad that you are joining us again today. We bring you some additional information, picking up pretty much yesterday of where we left off, dealing with the topic of fishing for men. Before we get into that topic, in addition to a continuation of our discovery of the teaching or the false teaching of the Catholic Church, let's open up in a word of prayer. Changed and that those who have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. We pray, God, for transformation and renewing of the mind. And, Lord, in anything, Lord, if you're not glorified, whatever we do, we want to bring you the glory. Unless you build the house, Lord, we labor in vain. And so, Lord, we pray right now that you will be exalted and your Son, Jesus Christ, will be praised. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yesterday we shared with you some of our experiences as we were out fishing for men. I wanted to read real quickly an article that is called by the Battle Cry, and it's titled Parable of the Fisherless Men or the Fisherless Fishermen. And this is dealing with the topic of people discussing and talking about evangelism but not doing it. And the article reads as such. Now it came to pass that a group existed who called themselves fishermen. And lo, there were many fish in the water around. In fact, the whole area was surrounded by streams and lakes filled with fish, and the fish were hungry. Year after year, those who called themselves fishermen met in meetings, and they talked about their call to fish, the abundance of fish, and how they might go about fishing. Continually, they searched for new and better definitions of fishing. They sponsored costly nationwide and worldwide congressions to discuss fishing and to promote fishing and hear about all the ways of fishing. These fishermen built large, beautiful buildings called fishing quarters, and a plea was that everyone should be a fisherman, and every fisherman should fish. One thing they didn't do, however, they didn't fish. They organized a group or a board, and they sent out fishermen to where there were many fish. The board was formed by those who had great visions and courage to speak about fishing, to define fishing, and to promote the ideal of fishing in faraway streams and lakes where many other fish of different colors lived. Also, the board hired staff and appointed committees and held many meetings to define fishing, to defend fishing, to decide what new streams should be thought about. But the staff and the committee members did not fish. Expensive training centers were built to teach fishermen how to fish. Those who taught how doctorates in fishology, but the teachers didn't fish. They only taught fishing. Year after year, graduates were sent to do full-time fishing, some to distant water field with fish. Further, the fishermen built large printing houses to a published fishing guide. A speakers bureau was also provided to schedule speakers to speak on the topic of fishing. Many who felt the call to be fishermen responded and were sent to fish, but like the fishermen back home, they never fished. Some also said they wanted to be part of the fishing party, but they felt called to furnish fishing equipment. Others felt their job was to relate to the fish in a good way so the fish would know the difference between good and bad fishermen. After one stirring meeting, the necessity for fishing, a young fellow left the meeting and went fishing. The next day he reported how he had caught two outstanding fish. He was honored for his excellent catch and scheduled to visit all the big meetings possible to tell how he did it. So he quit his fishing in order to have time to tell about the fishing experience with other fishermen. He was also placed on the fisherman's general board as a person having considered experience. Now, it's true that many of the fishermen sacrificed and put up with all kinds of difficulties. Some lived near the water and bore the smell of dead fish every day. They received the ridicule of some who made fun of their fishermen's clubs, and in fact, they claimed to be fishermen yet never fished. They wondered about those who felt it was of little use to attend weekly meetings to talk about fishing. After all, were they not following the master who said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men"? Imagine how hurt some were when one day a person suggested that those who did not catch fish were really not fishermen, no matter how much they claimed to be. Yet it did sound correct. Is a person a fisherman if year after year he never catches fish? That's the question I pose to you today. Can you say that you're actually a fisherman if you are never fishing? That is one of the reasons and one of the problems we see today in our world is that the abundance of fish are in the ponds, but yet very few are putting their line in the water in order to catch the fish. So just a reminder, as Jesus commanded us to go into the world and preach the gospel and that we are to bring in the harvest, I encourage you to please fish. As we mentioned yesterday and as we discussed, the fish want to be told the truth, and they want to be entered into the fold. So we just pray, thanking you so much for tuning in again today. We're going to shift our topic, and we're going to continue with our discussion with the issue of Catholicism. Before I run a clip today from Brandon House and Ed Decker, Ed Decker was a former Mormon, and a caller called in while they were discussing Mormonism and Mitt Romney and the deception that Mitt Romney is perpetuating today in order to bring about the great white horse prophecy of the Mormon Church. The topic of Catholicism came up, and I wanted you to hear that because that is something we've been discussing. But I wanted us to first to examine Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 6, Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 6, where you have Judaizers, and Paul is rebuking them for them saying that there is, you must add the law, the keeping of the law, in order to be saved. So Paul writes in correction, and he calls this another gospel. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you into his grace, into the grace of Christ, to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach another or any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, now we say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. So again, we're talking about a different gospel. We're talking about a gospel that adds something to grace. And if anything is added to God's grace, that is, but we're saved by grace through faith, it's the gift of God, not of works, then we know that that is a false gospel. So God's free and sovereign act of mercy in granting salvation through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's totally apart from any human work or any human merit. There's nothing that can be done to earn your salvation. There's nothing that can be done to earn God's favor. So Paul is writing to these Judaizers who are adding requirements, who are adding ceremonies, who are adding standards such as the Old Covenant as a necessary prerequisite to salvation. Now, we know that we spoke yesterday that Paul writes in Romans that he said he would not have known sin except by the law. So he would not have known coveting except that the law, the 10th commandment, revealed coveting. And we discussed that. The law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It's to reveal sin, much like in your house, when you pull back the curtains, dust is revealed, and you realize that your home is not as clean as you thought it would be. It just exposes it. The light exposes it. The law exposes sin so that you can understand the reason why a person needs grace. You need God's forgiveness. You need Jesus Christ, who purchased and paid for our sin debt at Calvary's cross. He is the propitiation. He is the atonement. He is the reconciler between man and God. Now, the thing, too, is that Paul mentions pervert. You can pervert the gospel, or that is to turn into another or turn into its opposite. And so when you begin to say it's not grace, that you have to do something else, then that is when you perverted the gospel. And the clip we're going to listen to today is a perversion, and we've been discussing Catholicism. Most of the teaching of the Catholic Church perverts the gospel. We talked about Mary in need of the Savior. We talked about how she had additional children and that she was not a virgin by Joseph. She had children by Joseph. And so we know that when we look at Galatians, it mentions let them be accursed or let them be anathema. That means devoting someone to destruction in an eternal hell. And so we're talking about if there's another gospel that is preached, then those who are preaching it and those who are hearing it and receiving it will experience an eternal hell. So listen to this clip by Brandon House and Ed Decker. Ed Decker, former Mormon, once again, and a caller calls in to talk.
I don't see anything on my call screen, but I bet you there's calls, aren't there? Butch in Zanesville, Ohio. Thank you, Butch. Welcome aboard.
Yes, what your guest just said about the Catholic Church teaching that only Catholics go to heaven is completely wrong. That's not what the Church teaches. And I would, I think the problem here is that you're not consulting what the Catholic Church actually teaches. You're just listening to ex-Catholics.
I'm reading a report published by the Vatican with the words of the Pope saying that there is no salvation outside of the Catholic Church. Don't misquote me or say I'm getting it from weird sources. I'm getting it out of the mouth of the Pope.
You have to understand what the Church means by that. That Church does not mean that only Catholics go to heaven, and that's what I'm saying, is that you're not...
No, he's very clear, and he says that. He says that we, the Christian churches or the Protestant churches, are not Christian at all, and they work with their people in vain for salvation. It has to happen only through the Catholic Church. Salvation, if you're not saved, if you don't have salvation, you don't go to heaven. I'm sorry.
Church means when the Church says there's no salvation outside the Church is that all the grace comes through the preaching of the gospel from the Church.
And what is the gospel? What is the gospel, Butch?
Presbyterian Church?
I'm sorry?
Which church? The preaching of the gospel from the Church. Who's the Church?
The only one church that Jesus Christ founded, which is the Catholic Church.
Okay.
Okay, well, you just said the same thing I said, except I was quoting the Pope, who he says he's the mouthpiece for Jesus, for God and on earth today. He is the only true mouthpiece for God on the earth today, and he says there's no salvation outside the Catholic Church. And he goes on for two pages. So I if you want, I can send you the article. Go to DeckerReport.com and email me. I'll send you his article.
And Butch, how would you define the gospel? You mentioned that the gospel that the Church preaches, the Roman Church. What is the gospel, Butch?
The gospel is Jesus Christ. It's God became a man.
Okay, and what? And then what? That's not the full gospel. What's the gospel?
The gospel is a person, Jesus Christ.
Okay, and what does one do to be saved?
Okay, well, first you must be baptized.
Okay, baptized in the Catholic Church.
I'm sorry?
Baptized in the Catholic Church.
No, any baptism is valid in the Trinitarian formula, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Okay, then why, when my friend converted to Catholicism, he had to be rebaptized by a priest?
Well, I converted to Catholicism from evangelicalism, and I didn't need to get rebaptized because I had a Trinitarian formula. If you were baptized with just, say, I baptize you in the name of Jesus, no, that is incorrect. It needs to be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Okay, so the baptism is part of the salvation, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay, then what else? Is there another part of the salvation of the gospel of the Church of Rome?
Oh, absolutely. You need to repent of your sins and cooperate with the grace of God that God gives you. To be non-cooperating with the grace of God is to reject the gospel.
Okay. Where does the communion of the Church of Rome come into this?
I'm sorry?
Does the communion in the Church of Rome have anything to do with salvation?
If you are a Catholic, absolutely. To refrain from cooperating with the grace of God is to refrain from receiving Jesus in the Holy Eucharist, yes.
Oh, in the Eucharist. Okay, so now the Eucharist literally becomes the body of Christ, correct?
Yes, in the Last Supper, Jesus said, this is my body.
Okay, and so what you're seeing here in Butch, and I appreciate you calling in, Butch. This is very, very good radio, and it's very good conversation for us to have, and it helps to sharpen us and our listeners. So we're not being antagonistic or trying to bully you or beat up on you. We appreciate your calling in and participating in the program. But what we're explaining is, the biblical gospel, you can go to heaven without being baptized. Baptism is a sign of your obedience. You enter into the waters of baptism as a sign of your death, burial, and resurrection in Christ. That's why you go down in the water and you come back up. It's a sign of obedience. But if you're not baptized, there's nowhere in the scripture says you're going to go to hell. So salvation is not by works, lest any man should boast. So you do not have to take communion to be saved. You do not have to be baptized to be saved. And when we speak of the gospel, to us the gospel isn't just Jesus Christ coming. That's history, but it is. I mean, you're not going to be saved by believing history. You have to believe not just the gospel is that Christ came. The gospel, or the good news, is that he who knew no sin for us became sin that we might become the righteousness of God. So the gospel is the repenting of our sins and placing our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and he alone, faith alone, Christ alone, not by works, lest any man should boast. And I'm sad to say that I believe the Church of Rome has a different Jesus, because the Jesus of the Bible was sacrificed once. We don't have to have him sacrificed over and over. For the person who believes in Christ, they accept Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, place their faith and trust in him, repent of their sins, turn from their sins, and they're saved. That's the good news. Believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. We're talking different definitions to a lot of the terms you're using, but I appreciate your calling in. That's a very instructive call, don't you think, Ed?
Oh, yeah. and I've been asked about Catholicism on and on and on. And that's why I'm going to be doing a program in the near future on it. And I've spent a lot of time in Catholic countries like the Philippines, where you know, on Good Friday everybody's talking about Christ on the cross, but on Easter the streets are empty. You know, I mean, they don't understand the resurrection power that comes through Christ's death and resurrection.
And by the way, Ed, if they just put into the any search engine, Pope says you're not Christian if you're not a Catholic, there are tons of articles that are popping up documenting this. Ed Decker's
That's
website
right.
is the Ed Decker. What's your website, Ed? Give it quickly.
Once again. Amazing. Here we are in the 21st century, and people are still not clear on what the gospel is. Now, Paul the Apostle, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, lays out the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 1, "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preach to you." Clearly, this is the gospel. "Which also you received, in which you also stand, by which also you are saved." So, by hearing and believing the gospel, clearly Paul is saying this is the key to salvation. "If you hold fast the word which I preach to you, unless you believe in vain." Throughout the Bible, believing the gospel, that means having not only an intellectual assurance, but also a heart confirmation. They must be in agreement. Your mind and your heart must agree regarding the gospel. He says, "You believe in vain. For I deliver to you as the first importance what I have received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures." So what's the gospel? That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, according to what is taught in the Bible. even if you go back to the Old Testament, Isaiah 53, we are told that Jesus would be bruised for our iniquities. He would be crucified for our transgressions, and the chastisement of our peace would be upon him. So we are, again, not through our own works or merit, but it's through the work and the finishing atonement of Jesus Christ on the cross. And so Paul is saying in verse 4, and that he was buried. The Roman soldiers, we know that Joseph of Arimathea came and put Jesus in the tomb. We know that the Roman soldiers, these mercenaries, were skilled at putting people to death. He was buried. They put soldiers outside the tomb because of the rumor or the knowledge that they had that he was telling his followers that on the third day he would rise again. So Jesus, in the tomb for a period of 3, not complete days, but according to the Jewish time and calendar, 3 days. And it says that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Who did he appear to? He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, just as he had predicted. But again, this is something that is rejected by the Roman Catholic Church. You just heard your own ears, not only the teachings of the Pope, but also a faithful follower and practicer of the teachings of the Catholic Church, that it was the Eucharist, it was baptism, it was works, it was something that you must do in order to attain your salvation. And it only came through the Catholic Church, which again is contrary to the teachings of the Bible. Now Jesus, addressing some of the Pharisees and the scribes, he said this to them in Matthew chapter 15. Why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God? Meaning, why are you following your traditions, is what he says. For the sake of your tradition? Verse 4. For God said, honor your father and mother. He who speaks evil of his father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever shall say to his father or mother, anything of mine, you might have been helped by, has been given to God, he is not to honor his father or mother. Thus you have invalidated the word of God for the sake of your traditions. You hypocrite, rightly did Isaiah prophesy and say, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines, he says, the precepts of men. So Jesus is rebuking them for laying aside the teachings of the Bible, the teachings of the Old Testament, the teachings of Isaiah, in order to pursue and to follow the commandments and the teaching of men. And this, they are just as guilty. This is a false religion, and the Bible says, let them be accursed. We're talking about eternal damnation for those who refuse to come into the light as he is in the light, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he alone atones for sin. We're talking about eternal judgment. Now, those are just a couple of things that the Bible is very clear about, but these are some of the other teachings that the believers, that Christians, that the Bible teaches, and that the Catholic Church teaches, but we as evangelicals or people who believe Scripture reject. For example, the church was built on Peter, who was called the first pope. The church was not built on Peter. The church was built on the profession of Jesus Christ. Peter said to Jesus that you are in fact the Christ, the Son of God, and it's the profession that people make in faith in Christ that you're saved. It's not built. It was built on his profession, not on anyone who professes Christ. That is how they're saved. The doctrine of purgatory after death, to purge a person from sin. Clearly, the Bible teaches upon death comes judgment. The Bible says it's appointed for man to die once, and then comes the judgment. So purgatory, again, is a doctrine, a precept, a teaching of the Catholic Church, which is a false teaching. prayers to Mary and dead saints to mediate on our behalf. Listen, as a former Catholic, as someone who grew up in the Catholic Church and who's familiar with these teachings, Jesus said in 1 Timothy that there is no other name above heaven and earth by which men are saved, and there is no other mediator between God and man other than the man Jesus Christ. Mary was a sinner. Mary needed a Savior, and Mary is not an intercessor. She was not sinless. She was not a virgin. So we dispelled many of those myths yesterday. Images to kneel and pray before. Confession, and that's idols. That's graven idols. That's graven. The second commandment is that not only making graven images, but worshiping them and bowing down to them, guys. That is forbidden, and that is to be abstained from according to Scripture. Confession to a priest for absolution of sin. Scripture is clear that we can confess, 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you of all your sins and cleanse you from unrighteousness. The Mass and the sacraments are necessary for salvation. The Eucharist, the body of Christ, Jesus, the transubstantiation, where the actual body becomes the body of Christ and the blood, where he's crucified over and over and over again. Jesus was crucified once, and now he sits at the right hand of the Father in glory and power and majesty. Salvation comes through the Roman Catholic Church. Again, Jesus said, there is no other name under heaven and earth by which man is saved. Only through Jesus Christ. We have to dispel the myths. And this is part of the apologetics we were talking about. Holy water, the canonization for the dead, penance and the selling of indulgences. These are a multitude of the teachings. Celibacy of the priesthood was an office, according to 1 Timothy, must be a man or husband of one wife who manages his household well. So again, these teachings do not coincide with Scripture. Now, I mentioned that Ed Decker was one of the guests on the clip that you just heard as he was discussing with Brandon House. And before we conclude our show, I would like to read an excerpt from his book, The Fast Facts of False Teaching, where this is what Ed Decker said: for Protestants, the Bible is sufficient as the standard of our faith. For Roman Catholics, the Bible is not the sufficient rule of faith. So you can understand why there's so much confusion. The Word of God is not the final authority. He goes on to say, for them, it is the Bible. While the Catholic Church theoretically adheres to the Scripture as one source of authority, in actual daily practice, it does not encourage its members to follow Scripture, but to follow the Catholic tradition. Unfortunately, for Catholics, it is not even just Scripture and tradition taken together, but the decrees of certain councils or popes. In practical terms, the real rule of faith for a Roman Catholic is not the Bible, or even the Bible and tradition, but rather the Roman Catholic Church itself. Thank you again for joining us. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and may his face shine upon you, and may you be blessed.